Salutations, Mets fans, and welcome to episode 131 of Amazing Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Amazing Avenue. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro, and with me this week is Steve Sippa. Steve, there is no time for an opening question. You might not be aware of this, but a lot has happened to the New York Mets in the last week.
Do tell.
We also have 10 emails from our listeners, which I think is some sort of record. So what we're going to do is we're going to go day by day since episode 130 and give you our thoughts on what's happened. And there's been a lot of it. And then we'll answer your emails. So I recommend to you that you cuddle up next to your fireplace, or I guess your air conditioner. Pour yourself a very large drink of whatever suits your fancy. For me, it is a wine and mead, like ambrosia mixture that I picked up in Savannah last year. Yeah, basically we're moving, so I'm trying to drink bottles of stuff so I don't have to take them to our new place.
Oh, okay.
Trying to finish up some of the alcohol. It's actually quite good. I don't mind it at all. It's not overly sweet. You would think it would be. Mm-hmm. I mean, the honey and the cherry and the wine, but it's almost like a cherry rosé. A little fizzy. Not bad. So as I sip on my mead, we'll take you back to Monday. And a lifetime ago, really, in Mets land. And the Tyler Clipper trade. The Mets needed another bullpen arm even before the somewhat predictable Bobby Parnell implosion and the less predictable Henry Mejia suspension, which we'll also get to, but that's on Tuesday. So Clipper has already pitched 3 games for the Mets because, as we've said, they need help in the bullpen. And he's been a bit shaky so far, I'll say that. But, you know, the track record is there despite a bad 2015 season, at least from a peripheral standpoint. You know, my mantra, Steve, that I repeated over and over on the podcast, it's foolhardy to predict the next 60 innings of any relief pitcher, let alone the next 30 or so that he's going to throw for the Mets. But how do you feel about the Tyler Clipper acquisition?
I had no problems with it. I think it was a good move. It shored up the bullpen. And, I mean, Meisner is a nice prospect to have, but in terms of the value that he brings right now, as compared to the value that Clipper brings right now to the team, you have to go with what Clipper brings.
Right. I mean, there's some risk here. Let's not, you know, the A's could very easily, quote-unquote, win this trade in the long run. You know, it's a reliever rental. You don't know exactly what you're going to get, but they needed a proven late-inning arm, and they got one. And he's been heavily used recently. You know, he's pitched, over the last 5 years, with the Nationals especially, pitched at least 70 innings each season. The peripherals are slipping. He's down to a 21% K rate and 12% walk rate this year. Now, how predictive is that? I don't know. Going forward, based on, you know, compared to his larger track record, I don't know. We're certainly going to find out together. But I think the process was good here. You know, these are highly leveraged innings he's going to be throwing the rest of the way. And not just because they're late innings, because they're late innings in a playoff race. You know, not all win probability added is created equal. You know, theoretically, he'll be throwing innings in the playoffs for the Mets, knock on wood. Those are very high leverage innings. You know, they don't have a guy. You know, do you want Bobby Parnell, Hansel Robles, Alex Torres throwing those innings?
Especially Alex Torres.
And look, they gave up a nice piece for the reliever rental. You know, I like Casey Meisner fine. He's a pitching prospect. You know, you can read my report on him on the site. You can go back a couple episodes where I talked about him coming off my St. Lucie trip. All my info on him is there. As I said, it's just very generic. You know, if you don't even want to give up that level of a guy for a reliever rental, you know, a potential number four starter, yeah, I get that. I understand that. I think given the Mets' particular set of circumstances and the particular strengths and weaknesses of their farm system, I don't have a problem with it. But I do want to say this, Steve. I rarely, if ever, go in for media criticism on this show, as we know. And in the interest of full disclosure, the one time I met Keith Law, he was incredibly nice to me. But they're simply not trading a potential number two starter here, Keith. No, I'm sorry.
Not at all.
And certainly not a guy with the downside of Chris Young. That guy isn't number six on your team midseason list like he was on Laws. That guy isn't number six on a national list. That is the best prospect in baseball. That player does not exist, by the way. Your downside is Chris Young, who's an above-average starter. That's not Lucas Giolito's downside. Before they even throwing out injury issues, you know, 10-step stuff. Your Lucas Giolito's pessimistic outcome is like a setup guy. It's not Chris Young. And Giolito's probably, at this point, the best pitching prospect in baseball. Either him or Urias. And you can say the same thing about Urias. They simply were not giving up an elite prospect here. And he's not, you know, regularly touching 94, sitting there. He touched 93 for me, sat 90 to 92. That is not an above-average curveball. I'm sorry. And look, I like Meisner fine. He's not my favorite pitching prospect in this system. I think there's a natural amount of helium with these guys when they get traded and sort of thrust into the national spotlight in general. But I saw him 3 weeks ago. Again, you can read the report on the site. The guys you throw number two ceilings on, you know, Wheeler, Harvey, Syndergaard, Matt, he's not on that level. I did it with Marcos Molina. That was probably too aggressive, to be fair, looking back a year from now, even not, you know, counting for the injury, or the injury issues he's had this year and the potential Tommy John surgery. I did it with Domingo Tapia. That was way too aggressive. It was also back in 2012, where I was more of a 30-grade prospect writer and podcast host. But even those two guys had way more present-day stuff than Casey Meisner and a fair bit of projection themselves.
Yeah, at least Tapia had, you know, that fastball. I mean, Meisner, nothing really. His sum is greater than his individual parts, but...
That was an off day, Steve, by the way. It gets crazier. We're just getting started. Tuesday, the Mets win. Big win. Noah Syndergaard, 18 up, 18 down, threw a gem. Get a couple home runs, one from the suddenly hot Duda, one from the still hot Granderson. But the pen takes another and already aforementioned hit with the 162-game suspension of Henry Mejia. Not good.
No.
He had looked good in the brief bits when he was back. Looked pretty much like the same pitcher we saw last year. And my fondness for Mejia and his hair is well known. Yeah, ever since I saw him on that rehab start in New Britain a couple of years ago. The stuff is great. Hey, you want another guy that I may have been aggressively throwing a number two OFP on? Henry Mejia. Sure. And look, I don't really care about steroid stuff, as I mentioned on the show before. I don't take this shit personally. You know, he didn't do anything to me. I'm not personally wounded. I don't think he disgraced the game. I just think he's an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, fool me once, shame on, you know, that's just, that's, what an idiot.
I mean, yeah, I mean, what else can you say? It's the same substance. He already got popped four once. He did it while he got, you know, pissed hot while he was suspended for pissing hot the last time.
Right, that's the thing. It's not even like another year or two. It's literally a few weeks had elapsed. Like,
yeah. It's just crazy stuff. So, you know, maybe if you want to take the optimistic view, maybe he really doesn't know how it's getting into his body and it just keeps getting into his body. Maybe more likely, whoever sold him the masking agent for it, give him a line of bull again. Maybe he just thought he needed it because of the arm issues. I don't know. But I do know it's probably the end of the Mejia story as a Met, as far as that goes. He'll get another chance.